Yeah, those are complicated questions, but I can try to answer. So I guess the first question I would sort of ask is, what does it mean to think in terms of public health? And I'm not sure I know exactly what that means, because public health has had a sort of interesting history, but a lot of people who work in public health, and I've worked in it for years, they're not necessarily opposed to punishment, or they're not necessarily opposed to criminalization. Oftentimes they could be working within those same systems, although that's not necessarily the case. So what I prefer to think about, or tend to think about, especially in the realm of sort of drugs and addiction, and that's the field that I think I know the most about, is really sort of, in some ways it's kind of the harm reduction approach, which is meeting people where they are. And so providing whatever care and services they might need or might say they need in a non-judgmental fashion. And so to that extent, there aren't a lot of examples of that, but there are some. And so I think, for example, syringe exchange, it's an example of an approach, that says, okay, you need access to clean syringes. Mostly it's because, like, for instance, in the town I live in, even though in Vermont, pharmacies are legally allowed to sell syringes over the counter without a prescription. Only one pharmacy in my town will do that, and they make it extremely expensive. So that syringe exchange sort of becomes necessary for people to use drugs safely. We don't, the exchanging syringes isn't tied to, promises that people will get into drug treatment. It's not about that. It's about giving clean syringes, because the state won't do that. So I think something like syringe exchange is an example. I mean, I think that, in the realm of drug policy, I think what's happened in Portugal is a really good example. So decriminalizing possession of all drugs is another example. I think that any sort of efforts that I'll just be straightforward. I'm sort of in support of any efforts that don't involve the system of punishment at all. Because what I have found in my work, and especially my book, where I have a kind of pretty extensive historical discussion, is that any time, and this isn't my original idea, but any time you have treatment and punishment coming together, or you have any form of help coming together with punishment, the more dominant system, the system of punishment, ends up kind of overtaking whatever therapeutic benefit there might have been in a sort of voluntary program. So I think for me, syringe exchange, I would say that that's an example of public health, right? The hope is that it allows people to use drugs safely. I think decriminalization or legalization is in some ways a form of public health, because we could also look at the health consequences of incarceration and the sort of psychological and physical toll that prolonged involvement with the criminal justice system has as something that is not productive of health. So I guess when I think of public health, I tend to think in the big, what are the institutional and structural factors that promote health, and what are the institutional and structural factors that promote ill health? And we have, obviously punishment does not tend to promote health. I think this question of, does public health or do these initiatives reproduce inequalities is a really interesting one. I've read some interesting kind of critiques of syringe exchange, especially in urban areas, as efforts to kind of clear out the downtown, gentrifying downtowns of their injection drug users. So, middle to upper class white folks can move in and have this nice residential experience without junkies on the street. And I think that's a really valid and interesting critique of it. So to the extent that if these initiatives are sort of instituted in a context where the broader inequalities aren't examined, then sure, I think they could reproduce them pretty easily.